But that march wasn't bad. Ask Vosick here. He smiled at the sergeant, and the marshals turned to him. In answer to their questions, he shook his head. No, marshals, my lord's right. That was across high ground, mostly, and easy enough. I'd say that march through the forest or across Kilwan was worse. The weather was, said Kiri, and we had walking wounded, too. And what about that last stretch in Fallow? Vosick grinned. I was hoping to forget that, my lord. That damned mud. Those Fallow roads haven't got no bottom to 'em at all, and the fields was wet as creeks. Seemed like we'd been marching forever by then. Amarlin came back and bowed stiffly to Kiri. My lord, we are ready to ride when you please. Thank you, Sir Amarlin, Kiri replied. I would like to meet the other knights before we begin. It's easier to recognize those you've met in daylight, I find. Amarlin relaxed slightly. Certainly, my lord. He led Kiri to the group of heavy knights waiting to mount. Kiri shook hands with each, noting their strength and apparent determination. It's been so long, he said, since I've campaigned with heavy cavalry, that I have forgotten much. Sir Amarlin, you must be sure to tell me when the horses should rest and what must be done. A mounted infantry company moves very differently. Amarlin thawed another fraction. My lord, I am sorry that we cannot move faster. The prince said your journey was urgent and must brook no delay. I know the marshals think we are soft, but... He patted his own horse. These fellows were never meant for speed or distance, yet in close combat they are a powerful defense. We can ride down lighter cavalry without getting far away from you. We cannot, it's true, ride into a heavy polearm company, but... If we run into that, said Kiri, we'll have to go around. Believe me, I appreciate the prince's care in sending such an escort, but to make the best use of it, you must advise me. Amarlin appeared to give up his resentment completely. Well, my lord, they can work all day if it's slow, or a short time if it's fast. That's the choice. I'd choose to go at their walking pace, a little slower than the light horses, and rest them at least every 2 glasses. And a long break at noon, of course. Kiri, calculating this without moving a muscle, began to be sure that Doran would catch them before the border. If we try to move out faster, Amarlin went on, we'll have a third of them lame in 2 days, and then what? Leave them behind, Kiri thought, but did not say. He knew he would need them. Well, he said finally, let's see how far we go. I would not ask haste, if it were not needed. I hope you understand that. Yes, my lord. Amarlin looked much happier. About the order of march, began Kiri. Yes, my lord. What about sending some of the bowmen forward as scouts? Amarlin's expression was eloquent. Well, my lord, if you like, but we're in Mehirin lands now, there's no real need. True. But then we'll be used to that, when we come to other lands. Amarlin chewed on this thought and nodded. With a wave, Kiri returned to his own horse and mounted. He watched as the bowmen got their orders and rode forward. That makes more sense, said Garrus at his side. They're not used to maneuvering in hostile territory, said Kiri. Where the road was wide enough, the heavy horses went 5 abreast, the 4 ranks in front of him and the squires, then his own 10 squad, for he had explained that since they had no officer in charge, he must be near them, then the mounted infantry. Now that the bowmen rode as scouts, the pack animals were directly behind the guard light horse. Kiri fretted, unable to see over the 4 ranks of large horses in front of him. He had always led his own company, or had trusted scouts in advance. By the time they stopped that night, at Magan, Kiri knew it would take them a full 10 days or more to reach Harway on the border. Amarlin